Hi, everybody, and welcome to Paul Lisnick Behind the Curtain. It's my opportunity to step away from the world of politics and law that you watch me cover on television every day. And we enter the world of the arts and theater, and it's such a fantastic world that I love so much here on the Behind the Curtain podcast. And today, we're going to take a closer look at one of my favorite theaters in the city. And, you know, if you watch this show all the time, you know I don't say that all the time. Looking Glass Theater is just amazing to me, always has been. And because I know a lot of the history, there were times through its history we're sort of like, what are we going to do? Are we going to make it? Whatever. And like, are you all kidding? You're one of the best things around. Let me introduce you to my guest. And I think by the time we're done, you too will agree that not only is it a phenomenal theater, but we're going to let you know what's coming up as well in this upcoming season as Looking Glass is back after some pandemic struggles, which so many people have had. So let me introduce you to the managing director of Looking Glass, Jamie Lindblad, who is a who's been around since, I guess, the end of September, kind of beginning of October of last year.
Right.
So relative, but you're not new to the work you're doing. Because Jamie, I'm babbling, but I'm going to shut up in a minute. I know you were most recently a deputy commissioner for the City of Chicago's Department of Cultural Affairs Special Events. I've worked with some of your colleagues who were there. The city's Year of Chicago Theater. The point is, you get this world. And Casey Foster, yes, you're the artistic director, but you don't step into this world as somebody who says, I know how to put on a play. You yourself are a performer and puppeteer and producer and singer and just a person of so many means. Thank you both for spending a little time with me.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
So, Casey, since you have a bit of a longer tenure back into the history, for folks who aren't familiar with Looking Glass, which, by the way, has the best location on the planet for a theater, just fill people in really briefly, if you would, on the history, because the people who've been involved in this, I think people are going to go, huh, what, really? Go ahead.
Sure. Yeah. So this is our 37th year as a theater company, founded by a group of college students at Northwestern. And 37 years later, we are home in the historic Water Tower Waterworks building at the corner of Chicago Avenue and Michigan Avenue. And our work is predominantly new and original works that often feature spectacle. So our upcoming show, Circus Quixote, which opens in a week, that's going to have a bunch of new circus apparatus stuff that has been designed specifically for the show that's never been performed on anywhere else. So that's an example of some of the spectacle the work at Looking Glass tries to incorporate alongside our artistic partners, Actors Gymnasium, which is a circus company in Evanston. And then another example of the type of work we do is often, if it's not a spectacle that's physical, what is the spectacle of this new and original work? And for our second show in the season, Iraq But Funny, there will be some incredible projection art, and also the humor of that and the writing is so spectacular and unique. Written by one of our new ensemble members, Atra Azdu. So in a tiny amount of time, I'll just share that the work is new, original, exciting, spectacular.
And when you go to Looking Glass, you never know who's going to be flying over your head or what's going to be going on. By the way, just a bit of history as well, Casey. The name Looking Glass, people are like, oh, isn't that like an Alice thing? It is.
It is. Yeah, it absolutely is. Mm-hmm. Right. Looking Glass Alice is a show that's not where the... So Looking Glass Alice is based on Alice Through the Looking Glass. And then the font that we use is actually a signature that somebody wrote down. And that's how we got our logo, which is really fun. It's all very much artisan. Yep.
Yeah, and I just want to, for people who, when you said Water Tower Place, but for people who thought that you're on the seventh floor with Harry Carey's or something like that, no, you're across the street in the actual water pumping station. So right. When you enter in another place, that's somewhat, we got to talk about that. But when you enter, you kind of, like, it's real, it's happening, it's whatever. And I can remember years ago when you all first moved in and there was some question as to, and the city helped you do that, but there was some question whether you could stay there, whatever. And finally, David, Caitlin, and people who were involved were like, what are we doing? Of course we're staying here. This is amazing. So that all worked out perfectly. I will say for viewers who are watching us or listeners, back in the 90s or so, I did do a half-hour special on Looking Glass with one of the founding members, people don't know David Schwimmer. Yeah, that David Schwimmer from Friends and so many other things. And now from, and I've been watching the show. What is it?
Goosebumps.
Goosebumps. Yeah. Thank you. Yes, I've been watching it. So, and with Billy Deck and Joey Slotnick, we did this great Emmy nominated special all about the history. And I got to play in the I was over at the Actors Gymnasium with Larry DeStasi and having all sorts of fun over there. But the greatest part of that whole thing was when it ran for the first time, Schwimmer called to say he saw it and he loved it. And that meant more than anything, awesome. Which was really, really cool. So, Jamie, you come on board with the history that you have, but you're a good person to come to and say, look, part of Looking Glass coming back, because the pandemic did hit. I mean, let's be honest about that. But it's coming back in a big way, including when people arrive now, it's just entering the building. I talked about entering and passing pumps. It's not that way anymore. There's a whole new expansion.
Exactly. Yeah. Several years ago, Looking Glass received a very large grant from the state of Illinois to renovate the lobby. And then the pandemic happened and the pause in operations happened. But now when people come in the door again, they're going to see a beautiful new lobby space that combines a number of smaller spaces from before, new finishings and fixtures, a bar cafe where people can hang out before and during the show, a gorgeous video wall, some art installations from some of our ensemble members and friends. And it's also going to be a community gathering space. So we're going to be doing some workshops in that space, juggling workshops before Circus Quixote.
Who's doing the juggling?
Sundays. Actors Gymnasium, we're partnering with them
I'm just asking, like, juggling when you say I'll juggle too?
Yes.
Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely.
Just checking. Yeah. And by the way, that space, while it's new to the Looking Glass working space or so, it's still a historic part of that building.
Absolutely.
Yes, actually, sorry, I'll just jump in to say part of the renovation is a return to its original design by incorporating a ramp that connects the two spaces. I'll toss it back to you, Jamie.
No, I'll just, Casey's been working very closely on the renovation and redesign and all the art elements in the space for many, many, many months. And I'm just, thrilled to join the process now. But I will say that one of the things that I'm most excited about joining the company at this moment as we're reopening is that we have an opportunity to throw our doors open to Chicago in a way that we have never been able to do before because of this lobby space. Yeah. So we're going to be, bringing folks in for, a drink or a snack, but as well as for activities and programs that are theater adjacent. So music, magic, puppetry, all sorts of things that might appeal to a broader audience and are still cultural in nature, but might appeal to folks who don't think yet that they're a theater goer. And teach them more.
Might we come to that space even though we may not be going to see a show that night? We still might be using that space.
Exactly. Right now we're only going to be open during show times, before and during show times. But we hope that by the summer, perhaps, we'll be expanding our hours and it'll be a space for visitors and Chicagoans to come in and get a cup of coffee or have a drink.
And Casey, let's get into the theater now and into the space, because I think it's fair enough to call it a black box space. And that's because for folks who don't understand what black box space means, it means who knows what you're going to walk in there. I mean, over the years, I've walked through these things because it was a freezer. And I don't mean that it was a freezer. It was meant to be. You were in this freezer area and said, you never know what you're going to walk into. Sometimes it has a little more traditional look. Oh, then there was one show. You were entering a baseball mound, walking through sand to get to your seat. You're the artistic director. Talk about there is no limit to the creativity in what you all can do when you have a black box space.
Yeah. I mean, it aligns with our mission too. We have core values of transformation, invention, collaboration, and transformation means so many things and physically is represented in that space where it transforms every single time you walk in to see a show. Just as you're describing. We have this wonderful black box theater, and it's currently set up for Circus Quixote, which is you'll be facing, if you've seen a show at Looking Glass before, you might have been facing one wall. Now you're going to be facing a different wall. And, you know, our goal is to not only transform the space, but transform the patrons that are coming in to see this piece of work. And how are we affecting them and leaving them changed, charged, empowered?
And you never know, because if you're seeing Looking Glass Alex, which returns from time to time as part of the history, you might be sitting, I don't like to give much away, but depending on what side of the theater on, you're actually seeing perhaps a different version of the show as it goes on. And there's Moby Dick. There's times it's been this huge pool. It's unbelievable. So is that your role as artistic director, or do you sit down with the director and then who sits down and says, what are we going to do with this box?
It's a really good question. You know, we're an ensemble-led theater company, one of the largest, and those decisions are made within the ensemble, which, of course, takes more time because of the amount of brains on it. But I think that's why it's so special, is because of all the heart and brains that are put into that conversation. Those decisions are made there. And I would call myself more a person that gathers and kind of cleans up some of the process and puts it in the right channel so that we can move forward.
And of course, of a recent announcement, a lot of excitement around a couple of people joining the board. Jamie, I'll come back to you with this one. Jimmy O, who's an attorney in the healthcare area and stuff. That's the kind of person, if you're going to put a board together for a theater, that's the kind of guy you think of. But then a lot of excitement when we learn that Schwimm, as we call him, or David Schwimmer, that he has joined the board, which is sort of amazing. I mean, David is a, I'm not telling you anything you don't know, but, you know, he's humble, he's whatever. And I want to tell you something he said during the special that we did, because you may or may not know that this was part of his view. But during that time, I sort of said, you know, theater companies have financial issues and troubles from time to time. And in a very nice way at that time, I said, you know, David, you could write a check and they'll be fine for the next 100 years. And his answer was, I could, but I won't. Because if the community doesn't support a theater, then it shouldn't continue to exist. You need community support. And I thought that was such a magnificent point of view. You could say that about Steppenwolf or Goodman or the very small theaters around the city. Even though you might have somebody who has got the means to take care of it all, the truth is, if the community doesn't buy in, you got nothing, Jamie.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And it's been such a thrill getting to know David Schwimm. And, you know, he's been involved, obviously, since the very beginning as a founding ensemble member. He's been involved as a major donor over the years. But this is the very first time he's been on the board. And I think it's given him a different perspective on the work that we're presenting and what's possible. And it really is an unlimited possibility in terms of what we can do with the organization.
And by the way, I want to say, he has the perspective, he directed Our Town. I mean, so you have a guy who's not only an actor, but also a director, also, right? So he's, you know, like Casey, he brings all of these components to who he is. And at this stage of his career, he's a pretty good businessman too.
Absolutely. Yeah, he's been talking with us a lot, Casey and me, about co-production possibilities. And, you know, we've been talking about touring and other business models that will create a more sustainable future for the organization. He's been terrific and such a great champion for the theater. Jimmy O, you mentioned, he's terrific too. His passion comes from all of his children are involved in the arts and theater in some way. So he sees his support of Looking Glass as, you know, setting a table for them and making sure that they have they and others have a successful career in arts and theater. So we've got some really great board members. They're all stepping up, and we're looking to grow that board even more through the course of the year.
Yeah, I'm going to disclose, we actually tried to work it out for Schwimm to join us during this and to pop in. It did not work out with his schedule, but his heart was in it. So, which is nice, and please give him my best if you would as
you
well.
Will.
I took my son to a show one night and he was there, and my son just was, you know, bananas about getting to say hi to him, and David was so nice to him. Casey, there's a lot of theater in this town. I mean, by the way, people call this like the second city of theater or something, and I don't buy it. I mean, I get New York is New York. I respect it. I love New York. But I actually think we have more theaters here. Oh, look, people coming down the stairs. Hi there. Do we want to know who that is? Is
that's
it Schwimm?
Kareem. No, that's Kareem Badiali. He is our creative producer, New Engagements. Yep.
See, everybody's working today, and she's not alone either.
Oh, here comes another. That was Sarah Burnham, our general manager.
Hi, Sarah. Anyway, I'll stop doing that. But anyway, so when you think of You know, to me, Looking Glass, when I create categories of theater, for me, it's Goodman, it's Steppenwolf, it's Looking Glass. And I actually used to put Victory Gardens in that realm as well, no longer with us for a host of their reasons. But what is it about Looking Glass? Because I think we understand why those theaters are their own level, as opposed to, you know, like Porchlight Theater, which comes close, but I'll put it just not quite there, but great, great theater. But what is it about Looking Glass that stands out? Because you're different than Steppenwolf and you're different than Goodman, in my view.
Yeah, I would say that it's that inventive element to the work we put out there. And, you know, Steppenwolf is an ensemble-based company as well. And I don't know much about how their ensemble is involved in some of the decision-making, but I can speak for sure that the Looking Glass Ensemble is still very much involved in part of those decisions. So I think that might be part of the difference there. And that inventive quality, just as I was speaking earlier, and some of the physicality and the spectacle that's incorporated into our piece, you know, part of the reason Looking Glass first formed is MTV was coming out at the time and it started pulling people away from live theater. They wanted to stay at home and watch MTV. And so that group of Northwestern students were like, how can we get this to be as exciting as MTV? And so they started working on elements of physicality and working inspired by Palabolas, inventing new ways to create theater that would pull people back in and take them away from their screens, which is very similar to how we are now, you know, especially after the pandemic. People are like, I'm gonna stay home, I'm gonna watch my show. I am guilty of that too. But we are constantly trying to reinvent the limits of theatricality and you know, it's theater without a net. How can we make it a space that you'll experience it's something you've never seen before? And a lot of our, you know, our push right now of these new and original works, we have all these great shows that people know and love, and we want to push those out to tours so that they can be seen by more people in the country. But here in our home at the Water Tower Waterworks Pumping Station, we want to continue to invent those new pieces with all of the spectacle and all of the transformative qualities that we're known for. And I think that's really what the brand of Looking Glass is that invention. And the space is different every time. And what are they going to do now? What impossible feat are they going to do now? And we're not going to choose a show, even though we all have love for Chekhov and Shakespeare and things like that. Those are shows that can play in many places. What can we do here that is new and original and unique?
Yeah. Like Lucy Charlie Brown and some of just the amazing shows that go on there. By the way, you said something. I'm going to see if I can take credit for this, because why not? But back in the 90s, when I did the show with those guys, the theme of that season was theater without a net. And when we talked about it, what they said to me was that's this season's theme. It'll be something else next year. And I made this huge production of saying, can I just toss in that needs to be your motto permanently?
Hey,
there is nothing that says more. And you just said it. So I'm sort of curious. Can I take credit for that?
I think you should. It's yours.
Because had I not said that, that might have been gone in the 90s.
Yeah,
it's no longer our official tagline, but Casey and I both use that to describe the work that we're doing and the cutting edge physical work that Looking Glass is known for. So
yeah,
good on you.
Yeah, thanks. Mm-hmm. Jamie, I think you might be the right person for this question, which is about the notion of memberscriptions. Because even Looking Glass there, it's almost like the talking in Wicked, you know, you kind of make your own language. So you don't have subscriptions, you don't have memberships.
Right.
You have memberscriptions.
Like a little bit differently.
It's a little Wicked-like. Can you, what exactly is a memberscription? Are you the right person for that, Jamie?
Sure, yeah. And Casey can chime in too, because she was part of inventing this idea, but essentially, it is a membership and a subscription combined in a special Looking Glass way. We've mashed up those two known entities into something that is called a memberscription. And so if folks buy a memberscription, they get to see both shows in our season, our short season, Circus Quixote and Iraq But Funny. But they're also getting a ton of other perks, like discounts at the bar and cafe, invitations to member-scriber-only events. And that includes a preview of what we're doing next, what we'll be doing next season. So it's really not only first access to tickets at both shows and a guarantee that you're going to be seeing both shows at a great price, but also part of a community. We're really building a community around this concept. So folks who love Looking Glass and love theater can be with each other and really feel like they're on the inside.
And let me tell you that as somebody who attends a lot of theater and supports a lot of theaters, the benefits you just described is something one could get at some other major theaters, but you're going to have to be at a notable donor level to get that stuff. So what you have basically said is we're going to take that stuff that at some other theater, with all due respect, you're going to have to give them a whole boatload of money. Here, we're going to create a way for you to enjoy some of those perks.
Absolutely.
You're just a regular person.
I think that's absolutely true. And through that program and a lot of other things we're thinking about, we're really trying to pull back the curtain and give folks an opportunity to see what goes into.
Well, you're going behind the curtain. Let me just clarify that.
Exactly. And it's a great program. I don't know if Casey has any additional.
No, I'll just add on to what you were just saying, but a lot of the programming we're thinking for that outer lobby too ties into this idea of like, we want to help people understand how much goes into a piece of theater on the stage that you're seeing. You know, it's if you haven't been entrenched in the world of theater, you go and see a play and you're like, oh, that was fun and nice. Did you know it took like 200 people to do it? You know, there's so many hands that go into the making of art and arts of all forms. So I think that part of the program we want to do out there is reveal that process. And with juggling, like, let's start from the beginning. Here's how you throw one ball from one hand into another. Like, how does this become a piece of theater on the stage? And that goes through our new works process too. How can we educate people in a way into all of the pieces that go into it?
Jimmy, let me come back to you for this. You're always welcome to both chime in. I'm just, in my head, I've got Casey as our artistic, you know, whatever, and I'm making Jamie the business guy here. So that's how I'm operating in my head, but you do whatever you want. But Jamie, here's the thing, because of your work with the city of Chicago and that part of your life, two things. Number one, for folks who say, oh good, their shows are selling out, they don't need any more money, they're fine. How wrong are they?
They're wrong, because a great percentage of our income comes through donations. Mm-hmm. So we really rely on individuals, corporations, foundations, government to support the work that we're doing in a lot of different ways. This lobby renovation is one example. But you know, we also have production sponsors for each of our shows. We have season sponsors who are with us throughout the entire year. And then, of course, a lot of our education and outreach programs are fully funded as well. So absolutely buy a ticket to see our shows, but also consider what other ways that you might be willing to support our work, especially as we are coming roaring back into life, into the Chicago arts landscape. We really need everyone's support, and we're feeling it. We're really feeling it. There's such a buzz and excitement out there about Looking Glass reopening.
I'm excited. Now, I've got a second part to that question, but balance. Sure. Casey, let me come to you and say, depending on, you know, how Jamie and the board are doing in their efforts to raise money, how does that impact you in planning the next show?
That's a really good question. I think there's a lot that we're taking in baby steps. So, you know, part of our new business model is where we used to do 3 or 4, sometimes 5 shows a season. Now we're to 2. And learning this year how it's feeling is helping us understand what the next season and the season beyond that will look like. So it's all, we're just sponges, I would say, soaking in the information and the climate and the patronage and all of that. And that's informing our decisions. So at this time, we're staying agile. You know, we don't want to go back to where we were last year. We want to make sure we're continuing our path to a more sustainable company. So I guess, in short, just trying to learn as we go a bit, but also some severe planning. I don't know if that answered your question.
No, it did. And in fact, here's a metaphor that makes sense for me. When you have the funding available, Sylvia, they can have people up and down on the silks. But when you don't have the money, it's not that you can't do what you want to do, but they're going to get rope burns from that rope because you can't afford the silks.
I love that. Yeah.
Metaphor.
Very nice.
Jamie, let me come back to you. Part two of that money question. Sure. I'm not gonna get political with this. It's a dangerous world. It's what I do on TV, and I am a neutral analyst on TV. So if you hear me to sound political, it's you, it's not me. But depending on who the mayor of the city of Chicago is, and depending on who the governor of the state of Illinois is, and the president of the United States, the strength of support of the arts is incredibly, in my view, dependent on that. So how do you struggle? I mean, I'll leave it to you whether you want to talk about here's where we are now. For example, I'll tell you, you couldn't go to Looking Glass without having Rahm Emanuel sitting next to you. Well, maybe that was just me. Mm-hmm. But you know, the odds are when Rahm was mayor, he's there, he loved it, and he loves the arts, and he's all about that. Can you just talk about the importance of the role of the city, maybe the county, the state, the federal sure. government, depending on who's in control, it's determining what you get to do.
Sure. Yeah, I would say Looking Glass has been very fortunate to have the support of all those entities that you mentioned. You know, we're in a city-owned building with a, you know, very low or no rent deal with the city. We were responsible for everything inside our walls, but, you know, that is an incredible support to us.
Do you have to fix the pumps if they go out?
We're also great partners with the water department, with the Department of Cultural Affairs. And of course, the state has given us amazing support in doing what we're doing right now. But yeah, I would say everyone needs to keep be vigilant at the national and more local level about the government support of the arts. We all know that it's so important, and it's not only important for maintaining arts organizations that are vital to our communities. It's just important for making good people and making good citizens and you know, bringing us together and bringing us joy. I get really excited about thinking about pumping that out into the world.
Hey, everybody, we're going to pause from the real action you've been watching of the artistic and business management folks of the Looking Glass Theater, because we want to let you know that David Schwimmer, one of the founders of Looking Glass Theater, and yes, that David Schwimmer from Friends, Ross Geller, he was going to join the conversation, but his schedule didn't permit it. Well, a few days later, after we recorded this, it was the opening, the ribbon cutting of the new space at Looking Glass Theater. And David Schwimmer was in attendance. And in fact, David sent word that he wanted to join this conversation if indeed we could talk to him at that event. Well, we weren't going to say no. So here is our conversation with David Schwimmer that took place at the ribbon cutting of the new Looking Glass Theater space. Hope you enjoy it.
I want to talk about the pandemic for just a minute, because you know I'm a long-time donor to the theater as well, and those were some really rough years. A lot of theaters closed around the country. This one survived and made it. You and I once talked, and I once said to you, you know, something like you, that's going forever, and you said, but the community has to own it and support it.
That's still true, and I'll tell you, honestly, we are here with a relaunch and a reboot. We have a new business model that we had to scale back producing as much as we did. And we are taking this risk, but we're totally reliant on the community and stuff, because we just can't do it alone. It's a totally different climate. People are not giving as much to the arts in general. It's very difficult to do what we're doing, especially because we do the new work. That's our whole thing, is new adaptations of classic work and new plays, and it's just harder to market things like that, especially when they don't have a title, for instance, right? But we need the community to step up now. You know, come see our shows, come support us. If you have an extra like 5 or 10 million lying around, we are here.
I brought my checkbook.
We're here for you. So we need help.
So look, you know, you're currently doing Goosebumps and that's playing well. I'm watching that series and stuff. But you know, when you come back to Looking Glass, it's a moment. It's special. Directed our town. So what does it look like for your schedule, whether it's acting, directing? I know you're on the put you on the board.
Yeah, just want to correct you. Anna Shapiro directed our town. I was in our town. Obviously, not a memorable performance.
I made you the director of the whole thing, so Anna, forgive me.
But look, I love working here in Chicago, whether it's directing or being on stage with these people I've been concerned. And all these new ensemble members, I'm dying to work with them. Incredible new playwrights in the company, and directors, and actors. So, I'd love to get back on stage and direct again. Right now, we're trying to figure out, again, our business model. We can't produce as many shows right now as we would like. And there we have a whole line of wonderful original plays by young ensembles. ensemble members that are kind of come first, right? Those are lined up in front of maybe some projects that I would love to direct or act in, and that's great. We got to get these voices out there.
You know, I'm taking credit for something. When we did a special with you, Billy Beck, Joey Slotnick, Theater Without a Net was the buzz phrase of that season.
Right.
And I said, that needs to be the line for Looking Glass always. In the recent interview I did with Casey and others, they said it again. It looks like that phrase has been held on. I'm taking credit.
Okay. I'm happy for you to have credit. I love that. I've always loved that, Theater Without a Net, because not only does it evoke some of the physical theater we do, a lot of, you know, circus and flying, and very physical, acrobatic performance. But also,
you're always flying around.
And then the other, obviously, the metaphor is that Theater Without a Net is we take a lot of risks, and sometimes we fall flat and have to pick ourselves back up, and others we soar. And either way, we're there to catch each other as a company, and hopefully the community will, going along, standing that metaphor, hopefully the community will provide a net for us and really catch us and help us.
We have just a little bit of time left. I'm not going to get political with you, that's what I cover on TV. But briefly, obviously what matters is the support you get from the city, from the county, from the state, from the nation. We're in tough times right now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's a really difficult time to be a nonprofit arts organization, period. And we've seen in the last several years many, many incredible arts organizations just disappear. So, yes, we need, obviously, the city and the state support. We're standing in this new space because of the state, because of Governor Pritzker, getting behind that bill. And, again, this was a grant. It was actually awarded to us in 2019. We were starting to make plans, and then COVID hit, and cut to 6 years later. Right, here we are, finally.
Last question.
Yeah.
On Colbert, you worked at Ed DeBevick's, which is a place where you're nasty. Colbert worked at Scoozie's, by the way. Were you not in the wrong position? Should you not have been in the opposite places?
No, I think at the time, listen, I was an incredible skater. Like, I did all these stunts. I jumped over, like, 3-4 kids at a time. That's how you made, no, really, that's how you made your tips in the parking lot. You know, they had, oh, yeah, no. You made no money waiting tables, serving burgers. Like, you made, what, $5? The real money was jumping over and doing all kinds of stunts.
It's not a surprise that place is no longer here.
This is an incredibly meaningful day to all of us here, especially those who've been working for so long, ensemble, board, and staff. We started 36 years ago as kids at college. We were scrappy, fearless, idealistic, and cocky. You had to be if you thought you could start a theater company in a city already packed with talent. For 10 years, we were itinerant, rehearsing in church basements and warehouses, performing in storefronts and black boxes from Pilsen to Evanston, while holding down jobs, bartending, teaching, bagging groceries, or in my case, serving burgers as a roller skating waiter at DeBevick's. After a decade of this grind and watching other theater companies come and go, Looking Glass finally hit a wall. Despite groundbreaking productions, great reviews, and some Jeff Awards, we were seriously struggling. Some of us now had kids to feed, no health insurance, and we questioned whether we could continue. The biggest obstacle was that because we were so nomadic, our audiences never knew where to find us. Remember, this is before social media. Facebook was still 8 years away. Then, out of nowhere, the city of Chicago's Department of Cultural Affairs, Lois Weisberg, had the inspired idea of taking this landmark building, one of only two that survived the Great Fire, and turning this ill-used space into a vibrant theater for the community. Looking Glass was invited, along with two other companies, to apply for that honor. In 2003, After several years of fundraising and construction, Looking Glass Theater at the Watchtower Waterworks opened its doors. This has been home for 22 years. In 2019, the Illinois House and Senate passed an historic $50 million investment in the arts sector for the Rebuild Illinois Capital Bill, thanks to Governor Pritzker's championing of it. Looking Glass had been awarded $2 million for lobbying improvements to be overseen by the Illinois Arts Council. But in 2020, the pandemic hit the performing arts community like a Mack truck. Folks had no desire to stroll Michigan Avenue, let alone sit in a dark theater. As people opted to stay in and work from home, the Mag Mile became considerably less magnificent, and we lost a staggering number of arts organizations. Looking Glass was forced to close our doors, pause operations for 19 months, and let the majority of our staff go. It was devastating. The idea of improving our lobbying now seemed impossibly out of reach, even laughable. We were smack in the middle of the Great Pause, our future totally uncertain, heartbroken, exhausted, frightened, and demoralized. But this is Chicago, the city with big shoulders, and its strength, resilience, and work ethic inspires us. We decided to regroup, rebuild, and today, reopen. So to be standing here this morning, 36 years after taking our first step on this improbable journey, with Governor Pritzker and all of you announcing the opening of this gorgeous new lobby, bar, future classroom, and rehearsal space, fills me with wonder, gratitude, and hope. Like the pumping station next door, we consider Looking Glass to be a public utility, providing essential service to this community, and we take that responsibility seriously. We believe storytelling is as vital to the health of the city as the water flowing through. It's life-sustaining, feeding a city's spirit, soul, and imagination. Stories bring strangers together and communities closer, revealing universal truths that help us realize what we have in common, a crucial antidote to these divisive times. So thank you for this opportunity to continue to serve you. We promise to provide stories that reflect the rich diversity of this city and its people, stories that change, charge, and empower, and most of all, celebrate our common humanity.
Well, there you have it. That's our discussion with David Schwimmer that took place at the opening. We're going to take you back now to the conversation we had before we knew this was going to be possible to talk to David, or Schwim, as his friends like to call him. And so back to the conversation we were having with the artistic and business directors of the Looking Glass Theater. Let me go back to the shows for a moment for this season, because obviously, hopefully people are getting the idea of the importance of what you all do and whatever. As I said, for me, what I love about it is, you know, when I do go to one of the other theaters in town, I more or less know what I'm going to be in for, because maybe it was on Broadway and maybe because it is Shakespeare or whatever it is. Oftentimes we sort of have familiarity, but when it does come time to going to see something at Looking Glass, I got to do my homework because I don't know what I'm in for. So a little bit more, you talked about this, but Circus Quixote, which is going to play through March 30th, can you just give a sense? You told us a bit about what is, but is there a bit of a plot to it, or just a lot of fun stuff unfolding?
I would say there is both a plot and a lot of fun stuff unfolding, but it is a circus-inspired retelling of Don Quixote. And then our second show, Iraq But Funny, is a satire, a hilarious satire that chronicles five generations of Assyrian women. So that one is going to be kind of epic in nature and covers a lot of what you would imagine by the title, some heavy content, but you don't ever feel that weight in a way you would expect because of how hilarious it is. It's truly a brilliant piece of script.
Do you, here I am avoiding politics, but let me toss it on you, Casey, which is, as you put these plays out, or you select plays, and Jamie, you can chime in on this as well, but do you look and just go, that's too political, we don't want to go there? Or do you say, look, I'm an artist, it is what it is, we love that play, it says what it says.
We love that play, and also it's more about families, you know. Iraq.
Bethany, I'm talking about any play, by the way. I don't mean.
Oh, just like that. Yes, any play. Yeah, I think that, you know, because we were only able to do two shows this season, we also wanted to think of a good pairing, and of all the pieces that we were looking at, it's just these two really felt nice together, both in the writers and the content, and it just felt like let's try and provide a nice range here of what Looking Glass has to offer with these two shows. So I think that was part of the decision for these two specifically.
And Iraq But Funny, by the way, it opens on May 29th. So it actually opens, it gives you guys a couple of months. I don't know what you need to change the theater around and do things, but certainly to prepare for the show, that'll run through July 20th. So that takes you into the summer. But I'm guessing, Casey, I'll stay with you. Planning is already underway for 25, 26.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And just to say, there are other items, like other pieces that we bring. So we've got our young ensemble that has performances in March that they happen in the theater. That's the show's called The Portrait of Madame X.
I want to talk to you about that. Yes, please.
Yeah, yeah. And then, of course, we're in all of the CPS schools, not all of the CPS schools, but our work is moving into those school areas. We have our annual ritual called Sunset 1919. And we're hoping to tour the parks again with a piece of circus that is going out to the different neighborhoods of Chicago. So there are always other pieces, but so summertime, we're calling it Looking Glass Outdoors. We'll also be bringing in a New Works Festival at the end of August.
So, Jamie, it looks like the effort here, because I know some of those programs have always been on, but I feel an expansion with those, with the young programs and the in the neighborhood programs. And of course, part of going out there is people see these things and say, who are they? Where is this? Where can I get more? So it's marketing as well. But Jamie, talk to me about the importance of all of those pieces of the puzzle. They provide, watch this. They kind of make the net over which theater can thrive.
Yeah, good one. I would say we're really focused on building a new, more sustainable business model for the organization. And so at least for this season and next, that means two shows. But we know that we want to be engaged and visible across the city all year round. So we're thinking about what cultural programming we can do in our space, in our new lobby space, and what kind of educational programming or other performances we can bring outside our space so that we are engaging with Chicagoans and visitors throughout the whole year. Because that's going to help us, you know, with ticket sales and with the financial support that we need to sustain the theater. So we're always looking to broaden our reach and appeal to a wider group of people. And that's one of the things that I'm really passionate about. You know, we don't only want to talk to Looking Glass fans and theater goers, but really, you know, become a more vital part of everyone's life in whatever way that sneaks in, whether it's through education or just a third place in their community that they like to hang out.
And because of your background, Jamie, do you, you probably already have, but do you see strengthening ties with, for example, the tourism part of the city? Because you're coming to visit Chicago, what a magnificent thing to see, jump off the tour bus and go inside Looking Glass over there.
Yeah, I bring my love of theater and the arts to this job, but also an enormous network that I've developed over the last decade working at the city. So we are partnering with the League of Chicago Theaters and the Meg Mile Association and Choose Chicago to do a number of different projects, bringing all their members inside our theater to teach them show them what we're doing and get them excited, but also other kinds of promotional activities around town. Chicago Theater Week, which is produced by two of those organizations, is coming up, and the first show we're doing sits squarely inside those dates. It's been wonderful, and they've all been so supportive, and they see the potential we have to come back strong and continue.
And Casey, finally, as we have to wrap up, first of all, if you do decide to do not an original work, but you want to do Fiddler on the Roof, I do a mean Tevye. I'm just putting that out there. but finally, since you've been around with Looking Glass so long, I get the sense from you you're pretty optimistic for the future.
I am so optimistic. I think it started at one side of the tunnel, and the light has it's continuing to get closer and closer and brighter. So yes, extremely optimistic. I have nothing but faith in the team, on staff, on our board and within our ensemble, artistic associates, and our audiences. I'm very, very hopeful and very excited.
There's no question Looking Glass is one of the jewels in the crown of the city of Chicago's theater. Tickets, by the way, can be gotten at lookingglasstheater.org, theater spelled the proper British way. I always love it that way, T-R-E. Lookingglasstheater.org, and the phone number there at 163 East Pearson is 312-337-0665. We'll put all that on the page as well. Thank you both for your time. I look forward to seeing you very soon at Circus Quixote and for every show thereafter. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
And so now in all its various pieces, you have a good sense of what's coming for the Looking Glass Theater. So glad we were able to catch David Schwimmer on his visit to Chicago at the ribbon cutting ceremony. And with all of the news we learned from the artistic director, the business director, we sure hope you're going to put Looking Glass Theater on your agenda to check it out for its reopening after the horrible COVID pandemic closure. It's time you go back. The facility is wonderful. The shows are incredible. And this is one theater company that does it without a net. Thanks for joining us here on Behind the Curtain.